guys, this is John from the Meatgistics podcast, and we've got a little bit of a weird one for you today. Austin Patrick and I went down to AMP last week. It was in Oklahoma City. That is the Meat Processors Convention, the biggest one of the year. Walton's is a member. Lots of our customers are members, so we always like to go down there, introduce ourselves to any new AMP members, and see the customers we know and love. We brought our podcasting stuff down there, and we got a couple of really good interviews. So what you're going to see today is a combination of one long conversation we had with two different processors and a few short interviews with a few other people. So it's not going to be our normal podcast, but we really think you guys can get something out of this. Think you should enjoy the conversation. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversations down at AMP. Hey guys, this is John with the Meatgistics podcast. We've got a bit of a special episode today. We are remote. We're in Oklahoma City. We're at AMP. We just went through the Cured Meat Championships, got to taste and got to somewhat rate a bunch of absolutely incredible meats from professionals. Now, there was an entire another category outside of professionals, and it was universities. So we have with us today Laura and Wyatt from Oklahoma Panhandle State University's Meat Lab. They're somebody that Walton's has worked with for a long time. And we wanted to talk to them, ask them some questions about what they did, how they did it, why they're interested in meat processing, where they hope to go with it, really what their hopes and dreams for the future are, and see if we can't end world hunger here while we're at it as well. All right. So who wants to talk first?
I'll start.
Okay. So Laura, tell us a little bit about what you, well, no, let's back up. Tell us a little bit about what you do at OPSU.
Okay, so I'm a recent graduate of OPSU, but I've worked at the Meat Lab for about a year or so now, on and off. I was doing my student teaching in between. I majored in agriculture education, and so that's kind of, I figured it would be a good thing to learn for myself in order to teach my students down the road, the processing process and just meat science in general. And so that's kind of what got me interested in the Meat Lab, and I've learned so much throughout the last year. It's insane.
Before that, had you done any sausage making? Any?
Not at all.
So you've had a rough year. Well, not rough. You've had a very intense year, I imagine.
Yes. And even before working in the Meat Lab, I took a class that we offer on campus, a slaughter class. And that was my first experience with that as well. And so it's a full service Meat Lab. And so it is immersed in the entire experience, all the way from harvesting to processing to packaging to selling. So,
okay. Is harvesting now becoming the acceptable term for slaughter?
Yes.
Sounds like it. It's that, like, I get it. I've said it multiple times on the podcast as well, but we have to face the fact that we're slaughtering.
Yes.
Like, that's what we're doing. We have to eat that animal to live. But yeah, neither here nor there. Okay. So we'll come back to what you made, why, and how, all that. But let's introduce Wyatt. Wyatt, go ahead, tell us same basic things as Laura just said.
Okay, so I'm Wyatt Hammack. I'm the student manager at Oklahoma Panhandle State University Meat Lab. I've been an employee there for 4 years now. I just recently graduated as well. I'm going to go ahead and come back and get an agronomy degree. My original degree was in livestock management and production.
Okay.
An animal science degree, but I want to go ahead and get an agronomy degree as well.
Agronomy.
Yes, sir.
So explain that.
That's like plants, and okay, the best way to explain it is how to grow plants and things of that nature. So,
okay. Did you have a farming background?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So your family?
Up, yes, sir.
Okay.
My granddad, I grew up baling hay, and he had a custom cut hay business. And then I worked at a dairy growing up through high school and everything. So
how many dairies are there in Oklahoma?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not originally from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
There's a few quite of that I know of, but
see, this is clearly my East Coast bias, but I only think of dairies as like Vermont, upstate New York. Obviously it's not true. California obviously is huge for dairies, but yeah, that's just weird East Coast bias. Okay.
Yes.
So you two made two different products, right? But you kind of helped each other out.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go first. What did you make?
So I made a summer sausage with some hot pepper cheese in it, mm-hmm, and some mustard seed. Those were the additives that I added in there. It was a beef pork mixture.
What was your ratio?
I think we did Oh, I can't even think off the top of my head.
Was it close to a 50-50 or
no,
was one was really dominant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beef. Yeah. 16. I think we did 16 pounds of beef, 9 pounds of pork.
Okay.
So not necessarily one way over the other, but there was a majority of beef in there. And yeah, that was kind of my first experience making a summer sausage, making a smoked product, really. Like I said, I've only started a year ago. And so
that was the first summer sausage you've made?
Not the very first one. We got to practice a few times.
Okay.
But that's kind of the first original recipe, if you will, that I chose and stuck with it and just chose to tweak it as needed. And it turned out pretty well.
You did an excellent job. Absolutely. It was, the texture was spot on. You didn't have any swirling inside. Do you know what type of stuffer were you using to stuff that? Don't know.
It was a vacuum stuffer.
Okay. No, there you go. That's fine. So a vacuum stuffer is not something that a lot of our retail customers are going to have any experience with and possibly have never even seen. I used to think that the vacuum was how it moved the piston, but apparently that's not accurate and it's just all about keeping air bubbles from it. Obviously it worked because you had not a single void in that. I mean, there was
no
bubbles.
I am not a pro at stuffing. That was really the first time I had used that stuffer on my own.
Okay.
And so we did a few sausages before. We made quite a few just kind of like so I could get the feel of using the stuffer. And by the third or fourth one, so easy to use. We did get some advice from a lady who had won a summer sausage division, and she said, slow it down. That way you do get rid of some of the unequal parts of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was so easy to use.
All right. Tell us about the seasoning.
We used a Tawn seasoning is what it's called. Pretty mellow flavor. Nothing that really pops out at you, but pretty well balanced.
Yes.
And then the high temp cheese that we used was a hot pepper cheese. So it added just a little bit of spice to it.
Yep. The Tons, for people who do use it, most people go with either the H Summer. I think that's our best selling summer sausage, which is very classic, similar to the Tons, maybe a little bit more black pepper, or they go off the wall and use that habanero barbecue, which is amazing and is my favorite snack stick seasoning that we sell. But for something like this, I think Tons was the right decision. What made you go with added mustard seed?
I kind of liked the mouthfeel of it. There's something about a mustard seed that pops in your mouth.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed that because you got the softness of the cheese, but then you also got that little bit of a surprise, I guess, if you will.
And you've got the creaminess from the pork fat mixed with the cheese, mixed with, we don't say mouthfeel on this. Ever. It's the worst term ever made.
You can tell
mouthfeel is the correct term.
Okay.
I just hate it. There's something about it that sounds pretentious is the wrong word. I just go every time I hear it. So we say palate appeal.
Okay.
So yeah.
I like that. That sounds fancier.
So we're going to come back to you because I want to find out what you're planning on doing with it. It sounds like you have some different ideas with where you want to go after this. But Wyatt, let's talk about what you made.
So along with Laura, we made both semi-boneless hams as well as our specialty product.
Okay.
And my specialty product was a Canadian bacon. Forgot the exact term for it. It's not a whole loin Canadian bacon. It's a restructured Canadian bacon. So the process with that is we started out with whole loins and we took those and pumped them through a pumper, a pickle injector.
Yep.
And then we took them and cubed them up smaller after, you know, we trimmed them and then pumped them. But we trimmed them to smaller cubes and then ran them through a kidney plate on a grinder.
Okay.
And then we put them in a vacuum tumbler with a little extra of our brine and then let it run for quite a few hours and kept it under vacuum overnight.
Okay.
And then the next day we went ahead and stuffed it into the casings and then smoked it.
All right. So what was the texture like when it was after it was cubed and run through the kidney plate? I mean, have to imagine it was still fairly chunky.
Yeah. The best way I can explain it is it's not as big as like a stew meat would be.
Okay.
And it cubes, but it was fairly ground up. I mean, there was no giant particles by any means. It was about the size about your thumbnail. It's about the size I would say is a good reference point for our particle definition size.
Okay. And what did you add anything else to make it bind?
The brine and the salt and then it with tumbling it, it
extracted enough of the
extract the protein, and it got to the point where it was so sticky that if you grabbed a handful of it and flipped your hand over, it would stick to your glove.
That's that. And we tell people to try that and to pick up a lump of it in both hands and pull them apart. When it starts stretching instead of breaking, there, you know, you've got good protein extraction. Yes, it is funny with Meatgistics, which is what we do here. One of the first things we started just beating through our viewers' heads was protein extraction, protein extraction, protein. Because, you know, you talk to people like, well, it didn't have a lot of taste. I'm like, okay, well, if it didn't have taste, you lost fat. I'm like, why'd you lose fat? Because it wasn't bound up correctly. You didn't get protein extraction. You didn't use any type of binder. Did you use a binder for that, or was it just good on the protein extraction? Something like SureGel or?
No, we did not use a binder.
Awesome. Awesome. That, so fairly traditional. Yes, how big is your tumbler?
Ooh, I want to say it's a, the 50 pound.
Oh, okay. The KMV 50? Oh, the ProMerks. Okay. All right. Awesome. That's great. Is that the largest tumbler you guys have? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So you said that you are taking these types of classes to learn better, to teach your students.
Yes.
So is that where you're wanting to go into the education field? Or?
Yes. So I'll be a high school ag teacher next year, starting out. And now that I feel comfortable enough in meat science, like I said, I had no experience with it beforehand. Yeah. That's definitely a contest I'd like to get students interested in, kind of the retail ID side, quality grading, all that fun stuff. But also there's a new thing up and coming, especially in Texas, with the National High School Barbecue Association.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes, so I would love to get a team together of students at my school to really dig into kind of that proper food handling, but also how can you be passionate about something and make a career out of it? So it'll be something cool and fun for students to get involved in, and hopefully just gives them awesome experiences. So.
It sounds like you're going to be an excellent teacher and a good ambassador of this world. So it's good that, or I'm very happy that you took these classes. I'm fairly shocked and impressed that 1 year ago you weren't able to make anything and you just made something. What did you place? Second?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You did a great job.
Yeah, I am a little overwhelmed, but super excited.
You should be. Yeah. You should be. That was really, really good. So congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So you're a student manager.
Yes, sir.
How many students do you have underneath you?
It really varies depending on the semester as to what students are doing, depending on their classes and things of that nature. We generally have anywhere from 3 to 10 students usually in the lab.
A reasonable amount.
Yes.
Fair. Okay. I was imagining 40 kids running around and you're trying to corral a bunch of college kids and my head hurt for you.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have that issue. It'd be nice to have people knocking down our door wanting to work for us, but we get by with what we can get.
So let's talk about that. Those guys downstairs who've been doing it for 30, 40 years, I talked to quite a few of them last night that seem like they're at the end. They're not interested in doing this until they're 70, you know, they're in their mid-50s, and like, I'm either selling my plant, my kids are taking over, there does seem to be a lack of a next generation. There are a few. There are definitely a few. And some of them are down there. We're going to talk to one of them later today. But do you have plans on ways you can increase interest in younger kids, fill up those classes so you're dealing with 20 kids instead of 10?
So it seems like right now and in previous, the reason kids take the classes we offer is because they need it to graduate.
Right.
Obviously, there's going to be that few. The big thing I've been pondering on and a big thing of coming here was to learn how to get people interested in it. And the more they realize that we're there, the more they're going to be interested in it.
Sure.
And we heard some folks talking yesterday about how they were implementing elementary school kids. They would go to the school and they did, I want to say it was like an iron gut challenge. And so what they did is they would have the kids pick the ingredients and then they would let the kids come into their facility and push the buttons on the machine to get it rolling and get those kids excited about it. And doing that and providing a good quality product. And obviously, if you have good products, people are going to be like, okay, that's pretty cool. Now, there's going to be a few that are going to say, I want to learn how to do that myself.
Yeah.
And any little bit we can do like that is going to help grow the business.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And if I could add on to that, you know, starting at elementary age is awesome just to get it in their head, but really to focus on kind of the upperclassmen in high school and college kids just coming in, I think it's not stressed enough to them that it's a professional industry. So they want to go into ag business. They want to go into farm and ranch management because that sounds professional.
Right.
Meat science doesn't sound like a professional job that they can make a lifelong career out of. And I understand.
If you don't have any background in understanding that, yes.
Exactly. And so it also just requires involvement of students of that level as well to say, well, here's a professional association we're a part of. These are all the professionals that you get to visit with at this exhibitor hall or whatever. Like just emphasizing to them that it's not just a butcher shop. It's not just
right.
One thing or another. It is a lifelong career if you choose it to be.
And you'll get to use all that fancy learning. And if you own your own shop, you are 30 jobs in mm-hmm. one. You do a bunch of different stuff. And one of the things, when I first got to Walton's, I had never made sausage in my life. I loved food, obviously, but never made it. I think the first time I processed, I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is a lot of fun. I tell people all the time, I'm the luckiest person in the world. I have the best job. I mean, the number of times I've been able to come in and just be like, I'm going to try that today. And just something off the wall is absolutely incredible. Really, really lucky. And I try at least to push that out there about how much fun it can be.
And you'd never stop learning. Like for those people who are always on the go and always want to do something different, there are so many things to tackle and try and learn things about that you're never going to be bored unless you let yourself be complacent in it. Like, I think that's one of the most fun things about this industry, and it's ever evolving. So you're never going to be bored if you don't let yourself be.
Nope, absolutely not. Growing up, you said your grandfather had a hay cutting business?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did you do any livestock management through that before you got there or no?
So really, not really with him. I more or less was the guy that ran the tractor for sure. Him. But when I was growing up, I showed dairy cattle. And
okay.
So that portion of keeping track of what cows I had and having to breed them and stuff of that nature is what really got me into the management part of that stuff. Making sure that I'm putting seeders in them and getting them ready to breed when I want them and when I need them to. So that way my calves will be at the right age for show. And so that's where I kind of got that more or less figured out.
And where are you wanting to end up from this? Are you wanting to own your own ranch? Or are you wanting to take his job?
I would love nothing more than to just stay at the college and work there. I would love that a lot. We'll see if maybe we can get a position opened up. But I've had a lot of opportunities. I've done a lot of different trades and things. So this is the one that I didn't expect that I would enjoy. It was one of those, I got to college and I had a buddy that worked in there and he's like, hey, we need help. So I came and started working. Other than that, I had never really done anything butcher wise. I mean, I had shot deer before and sure. gutted them, but, and take them, I took them to somebody else to do it for me.
Let them take care of it.
But it's like she said, it's every day is something different. And yeah, you might be making the same cuts every day, but every carcass is different. And I think that's what I enjoy about it the most. I never know really what I'm going to get into when I walk in the door.
There's always a new challenge back on a cutting room floor. Something else is coming up. You're asked to make a product you've never done before. There's always something to learn. Like you said,
for sure.
Dylan, who is one of the Waltons, has his degree in meat science. He learns new stuff. He still goes to classes to increase his knowledge base. Really is just astounding how much information there is out there on meat sciences.
For right. Sure.
Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I can think
Laura,
of.
Wyatt, thank you so much. You were both excellent guests. You're welcome anytime to come up, visit our facility. We'll give you a tour and we can sit back down again.
Thank you.
Awesome. Sounds thank good. You. I sure appreciate Thanks. It.
All right. So they were your students. Who are you?
My name is Anthony Ingo. I'm originally from Colorado, but I've been at Oklahoma Panhandle State University for going on 16 years now. I was a student at the college.
Okay.
I was a student manager, just like Wyatt. I went off and taught ag for a year and a small town in Colorado, and then had an opportunity to come back and be the daily manager of the lab. Years went by, and now I've moved into that director position at the college.
So how many kids do you have reporting to you is the wrong word, but you know,
every semester is different.
Okay.
And that's what's hard. And we have what we like to call a transient workforce.
Okay.
They come in, we luckily would have them for 4 years.
Okay.
Most of the time it's 2 years, and you're trying to teach somebody, like you've already talked about, an ever evolving industry and something you learn new every day. You're trying to teach somebody as much as you can within 2 to 3 years.
Sure.
And so those new students are always coming in. But we have, my goal is to usually have 7 student employees.
Okay.
The college offers a slaughter class, a retail ID, or a retail cut-up class. So they're breaking down carcasses, looking at all the different cuts. And then they have animal carcass evaluation class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all those classes use the meats facility. But as student labor that I pay through the meats lab, about 7 students is what my goal is each semester.
Okay. What are generally they coming to your course for? Are they wanting something in the ag business? Obviously makes sense, but do you have a lot of people who want to be USDA inspectors, a lot of people who want to own their own meat plant? Or is it just everything?
Well, like Wyatt said, it is kind of a class that is required as part of the animal science degree.
Sure.
So a lot of the kids that we get have to take one of those classes eventually. But you'll get kids, and what we call it is a meat science emphasis in the animal science degree. And so those students, I have kids that are now USDA inspectors, trying to open up their own plants, okay, in small towns, things of that nature. A lot of our students will go into the USDA because it is a good job. It's a good paying job. And so they can get in on that and then work up and advance pretty quickly. So.
Within the USDA?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're raising is the wrong word, but hopefully you're teaching the kind USDA inspectors.
That is our goal, is to produce people that have common sense.
Yes.
In the industry, that they've looked and said, oh, well, I've seen this before. It's not that they're doing something on purpose wrong.
Right.
This is what has happened.
Yeah. So. We talked to a couple of people last night comparing war stories, and man, there are some things that you just shake your head at. You're like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
But I mean, what can you do? There's that in every walk of life.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we talked earlier. I remember talking to you back when 7 years ago when I was in the customer service department. Seems like you do order a lot of your supplies from Walton's. What initially drew you to that? Did you just throw a flyer out? Were we already working with you by the time you got in there?
I started buying stuff from Walton's when it was called.
You'll get it.
I know.
Starts with an M.
Gosh, Midwest Supply.
Yep.
I still have a fax cover that has it on there that I have to make sure I don't grab the wrong one when I'm sending you guys a fax with our order in. But it was originally then. We've had really good service and sales people that come and check on us. Cool. With you guys. Brad Heidebreck was our guy for a long, long time. And we've just got a new one. Got to meet him downstairs in the processors convention show. And his name's Austin. Really excited to work with him. He seems really, really, really interested in making sure he does a good job for us.
They do a great job training up those commercial salespeople. Dylan, who's in control of that department. I mean, you're hard pressed to find another kid he's not a kid anymore. Someone under 30 years who has his breadth of knowledge in that industry. There's only one thing I can ever think of that he wasn't able to explain to me to a T, and luckily dumb it down to the point that I can understand it. So it's not, he's not using these incredibly fancy words where I'm just like, oh yeah, okay. I don't want to appear stupid. So yeah, no, I get it.
I can say another thing that keeps us and we enjoy about Walton's is the next day delivery, because as it's unfortunate, but we may be starting to get something ready to process using some different seasonings, whatnot, our Excalibur seasonings. And I say, all right, we need to make sure we have this, this, and this for tomorrow. And the kids go, oh, we used all of that. We didn't tell you, but we used it all. And then I'm like, okay, what time is it? Because I got to call Walton's.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I can get it the next day by noon or so.
Yep.
And
luckily,
that's a huge deal for us.
You're close enough for your one-day shipping. We talk about it at work a decent amount. Amazon has spoiled everybody.
Yes.
I get unbelievably annoyed now when I order from a company, whether they're a small operation or a larger corporation, and it doesn't even ship for 2 days. Like, what is that? No, you have to do same day shipping.
Yes.
Like, that was one of the things that I think is a huge advantage for us. You place your order over the phone, fax, on the website, and usually within 30 minutes, you've got a notification coming saying, hey, it's on its way.
Yes, sir.
It is absolutely key. It's a important thing. But all right, so you've been in your current position 4 years and at the university 16?
In my current, a little over 2 years, but at the
2 years,
as a part of the university, getting close as a student, and then in my close to 20 now, but as employed close to right at 16.
Okay. You said you took a year off to go teach ag in Colorado.
Yes, sir.
So you left that pretty quickly. Did you just, was that not for you, or was this opportunity too cool?
No, I love the ag teacher, that part of the industry of bringing students in, teaching them. I had great ag teachers growing up. I was part of 4-H, FFA. So those people really do make an impact. And I think that there should be more people going into that field. But there was just some things in life that had happened. And I had a comfort in being at Panhandle State.
Sure.
And Darren, my old boss, he was like, this is something I really think you should look into. And we would love to have you. Type of a deal. And so I jumped on that opportunity. So,
well, yeah, we've had some really positive interactions with whoever runs your social media. Always when we were more active on social media, we'd always repost your stuff because it was usually spot on. I mean, I remember one specifically about some excellent cuts of steak. I think it was when you were doing a grading like test or something like that. That was fascinating. So Oklahoma Panhandle State University seems to be, is it expanding? Is it?
We're always trying to grow. You know, as many students as wants to come to OPSU, that they'll have them. We're growing. We have, we have all the sports. So there's that opportunity for students athletes are able to come in and continue their career as an athlete in a place that may not be quite as competitive as a K-State,
sure.
OSU, where they can actually
get on the field.
Yeah. Yep. But ag-wise, we're a great ag college in that we're producing people that are now, we had the dean at Cal Poly had graduated from OPSU. Can't remember her first name. Her last name is Kidman. She's at Tarlington State now, running their meats facility. There's just so much that OPSU has put out that people really don't realize.
Yeah. So. Well, interesting when we were talking to Laura and Wyatt, and you alluded it to getting people more interested in not even just learning that there's a possibility of a career here, but just getting them more interested in meat processing in general. I've been on I've seen this happen over the last couple of years, and there's no question there's an increased interest in processing, hunting, sourcing your food. So something everybody in the industry is doing is working. I can't quite pin down what it is, but it seems like what we're doing is having the desired effect. It looks like people are starting to care more about their food, where it comes from, they're interested. Hopefully we get that younger generation ready to go. So give your quick pitch about a kid who's in ag in high school. Why should they come to Oklahoma Panhandle State University?
Well, the biggest thing that I can say is at Oklahoma Panhandle State, you're not just a social security number that is in the system. There are small classes, and where you're working with the professors in a, I'd say, intimate setting,
sure.
10 to 15 people per class, so that if you want to be as hands-on as you want to be, you have that opportunity. There's not very many colleges left that actually allow the kids to slaughter. They have a slaughter class, but it's you stand back and watch. our guys, they run the floor. Wyatt is my kill floor manager, but he's my student manager. He does it all. So, I mean, he's knocking, he's harvesting, like we talked about, slaughter. They go in, he's unloading animals. He can learn as much as he wants to where we're at. And that's the same for anybody that wants to come to OPSU. If you want to learn, we're here to do it. You won't just be standing there taking notes in the book.
That is a pretty good pitch. Got to be honest. I'm a little old for it at this point, but
well, we'd love to have you. Yeah. I watched the podcast, and you make a pretty good sausage from what I can see.
Yeah, so. Thank you. From time to time.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's experiments, and they go wrong. Yes. We've tried some stuff that didn't work so well, but I mean, that's all what it's all about. Yeah. We got to keep trying to find the next thing.
That's right. They were talking about gummy bear sausage yesterday. So and I'm bad. Like, oh my gosh.
It was so bad.
You've done some?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, they were terrible. Talking, I think Walkie Brothers were talking about that they'd made some and yeah, it's just, and that's some of the deal with the students, the young kids like Wyatt and Laura were talking about bringing those kids and letting them create their own recipe for, and not so much recipe, but let's put this ingredient. Yep. And I guess that's some of the kids who are putting out Mike and Ike's and so I'm.
But we had a girl at work who literally loved them.
Really?
She's like, that's the best thing I've ever tasted. I was like, here, take all of them.
All of it.
I don't want anything to do with this anymore. So out of everything we've done, and I think Patrick will agree with me, the best sausage we've ever made was the Excalibur Supreme Pizza Bratwurst seasoning. We added 10% of hard log pepperoni. Okay. We ground that up with the pork. We then took ghost pepper, cheddar, mozzarella, and hot pepper. We took those cheeses, they're high temp cheeses so they don't melt, put them in a pan, melted them, poured it out, let it cool. Then we cut them back up into little pieces and stuffed them. And then we put a marinara sauce on top of it. Oh my God.
Did it take a week to make?
No. Well, I mean, it took longer than the average sausage, but it was well worth it.
Yeah.
And we've done it since without melting the cheese. And I just don't think it's quite as good because doing it that way, every single bite you're getting all the flavors. Of the flavors.
And they're pronounced. You can taste the difference.
Oh yes, wow. For sure.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure. But that's absolutely something you might want to have the kids try.
The retail meats class, they do it used to be it had to be at least a 50-year-old sausage. They had to go search the internet and find a sausage recipe that was at least 50 years old.
Okay.
Then we would give them 10 pounds or whatever, and they made their own sausage. And you could use it however you want. And so that was a big hit in the end of that retail class that we took a day and we use all the small equipment that you guys sell because we've got most of it from you over the years. But they use a little baby grinder is what we call it because, you know, it's not the 52 head that we have. And, but
what is it? Is it a 22, 32?
It's a 32.
32?
Yeah. Okay. And then we have the Weston 40 pound mixer, I believe it is.
Okay, we'll replace that with the Waltons.
Maybe it is a Walton. Maybe I'm just saying the wrong name.
We'll send you one of those.
But, everything's attaches and we use the little stuff
right.
So that they say they can know that they can do that at home and they run it through the stuffers, the linkers, do all that. And then we cook that up. And so it's a neat class, a neat way to end the class. The weirdest was beaver sausage though. I passed on it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And that was more of a food safety is why I passed. But, that was it.
Sure.
The young lady put her cooked product back on the raw plate that she had carried it over on.
Oh.
And so that was my...
Was she just not paying attention?
Yeah. Okay. That was the deal. It was a big, you know, there a lot of stuff was going on that day. Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Because food safety is a very important part of what we do.
And absolutely.
So that was a way to also show them, like, this is not, you know, you got to pay attention to those kind of things.
Yep. So. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I do appreciate you guys and thank you for having us along today.
Of course. No, that was phenomenal. I love getting the chance to talk to college students, people bringing up the next round of butchers, processors. It's important.
Yes, sir. I agree completely.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, guys. Are we even releasing this on YouTube? Yeah, we will. So remember to like, comment, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast. It really does help. Thanks.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons. everything but the meat.